And welcome back to Cartooncast, a fortnightly podcast hosted by two adults who aren't ashamed to proclaim their love for cartoons. I'm Christina Warren.
And I'm Micah Sargent, and this week we're talking about Uncle Grandpa.
Good morning! Good morning!
And I'm so excited! This is just the weirdest show. Well, maybe not the weirdest show I've ever watched, but certainly one of the strangest cartoons, but still one of my favorite. Like, I have an Uncle Grandpa hoodie. That's how much I love Uncle Grandpa. And guess what mug I have at work? I have a mug that says, "Good morning."
Good morning.
And people have asked me about it, and I gladly tell them about this ridiculous cartoon.
Yeah, it is. Okay, so it was on Cartoon Network, and the first season, which is really, I think, like most, I mean, it's like a bunch of episodes, like more than 50 episodes are available on Netflix. And I think there might be some episodes that are just available on iTunes. I don't even know. They're still airing it. It's one of those Cartoon Network shows where they have like a bajillion episode seasons, but, which makes it hard to like find out, like, what am I watching?
Yeah, it's hard to actually tell what is, because they're like volumes instead of seasons. And so, IMDb tells you one thing, but
right.
The episode that we'll be talking about that I watched is season 2, episode 8, but really it's volume 1, like episode 47.
Yeah,
or something.
It's season 1, episode 34 or something. Like, I don't know. It's weird, but it's, I don't know how the number ordering system works, but this is a weird show. Like, let's just get with that. Like, what's the premise? Tell us about the premise, Micah.
So that's a tough thing to even explain in and of itself. Basically, you have a character whose name is Uncle Grandpa.
Good morning.
You have a character named Pizza Steve.
Yeah, right.
You have a character named Mr. Gus.
Be prepared for a big crash.
And you have a character named Giant Realistic Flying Tiger.
Yep.
Plus Tiny Miracle, which I'll talk a little bit about. But Uncle Grandpa is kind of the central like premise of the show. He is the our hero. And what Uncle Grandpa does is he goes around and helps kids with their problems and does it in an unconventional way that often teaches some type of lesson, but in the process also results in a lot of shenanigans. And then Pizza Steve and Mr. Gus are just kind of his sidekicks. And then Giant Realistic Flying Tiger is kind of like the family pet, but also has, you know, some autonomy of her own. And Pizza Steve is literally a slice of pizza. And Mr. Gus is a dinosaur with the most hilarious voice. And he's kind of like the Eeyore character a little bit, except less sad and more just like not into shenanigans, which is literally what all they do.
I'd like to think he's kind of like the voice of reason.
Yes, that's exactly what he is. He's kind of like, I don't know, like the mom of the household or something.
Like when everything is, because the world is crazy, and even his character, it is not one of those things where like he's grounded in reality, because he's not, because it's like, you know, a weird pseudo reality thing. But
right.
Even in his world or whatever, it's like he's, so even though nothing in this world is really grounded in reality, the most realistic character would be him. Like when everything's going even too crazy, like the episode that I'm going to talk about, like when things are not going well, actually I guess both episodes, this is true. When things are not going well, he's like, okay, hold up.
Right.
You know,
everybody just calm down and we're going to get this figured out.
We're going to get it figured out.
He kind of keeps the show rolling along. Whereas like in this fake reality that we have, if Mr. Gus wasn't there, the show wouldn't go anywhere. Like the characters would just interact with each other and nothing would progress, which could be a fun experiment. But the other character, Giant Realistic Flying Tiger, is called Giant Realistic Flying Tiger.
I love that
because
character.
Not only does the tiger fly, but it is a realistic looking lion. So, tiger. The rest of the characters are cartoons, but this is like a photorealistic depiction of a tiger.
And it seems like almost two dimensional in places. Like that's like the one character that like doesn't seem to have like 3D rendering like ever, like from the side. Like you only see the front of its face. So it seems like it's like a 2D. It seems like it's like a cardboard cutout is what it seems like.
Yeah, because they just cut between shots of like the tiger's head in different positions, as opposed to actually making it like animate to move. It just is like cut. This show is just ridiculous, and I have no idea like how it got put on air, you know, like in terms of how do you even pitch a show
this? I don't know. This is what I was going to say, because I love the show. I think it's fantastic. But I have to wonder, it's so weird. I wonder, like, do little kids just like the movement? Do they just like, you know, kind of the noises? Because the whole concept is so surreal that as an adult, it's sort of hard to like, you're like, wait a minute, what's happening? You know, because there is a plot, but there's not really a plot.
Right.
I mean, he's kind of like a magic genie for kids, takes them on adventures. But like, there's just so much surreal stuff that happens. And that a lot of times you're just kind of like, again, I wonder, like, do kids who are watching this, are they just like intrigued with the colors and the craziness and not really paying attention to the plot? Because if they were, because I think that as a kid, I would have been like kind of confused. I would have been like,
oh, for sure.
I would have been like, okay, these people are very high. And because, I mean, honestly, like there has to be a lot of drugs going
on. Oh, yeah, for sure. And frankly, as a kid, I would not have watched this show or liked it. Like I could tell you
hands down. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I would have liked it. I think that I would have liked parts of it. And then I think that I would have been like, this is too weird.
Yeah, it's like now that I'm older, there's some weird appreciation that I have for it. I don't know. I can't even really explain it, but I don't know. I love the character of Uncle Grandpa first and foremost. And then the fact that the show just takes it so far out into left field and is just like, I don't care what your preconceived notions are of anything. Here's what we're going to do. And I love that about it.
Yeah, I do too. I love that literally it exists in its own universe where, I mean, you know, gravity doesn't exist.
Physics isn't real, right?
Physics is not real, exactly. Like
he pulls off his head sometimes, and no big deal.
His own head he takes off all the time. And I also love that, like, in his universe, there are multiple Uncle Grandpa, right? Like, like all the time throughout the show, like, you see, like, just, like, dozens of Uncle Grandpa around. And they're all talking to each other. And it's so weird, like, in the mirror, just under the water, just they're weird things. And it's like, okay, and you kind of wonder, like, is there a factory someplace that makes Uncle Grandpa?
And I forgot about a character, a very important character named Belly Bag.
Yes, Belly Bag is the best. So that's his fanny pack that he wears.
It's alive.
It's alive. It can walk. It can also high five. It has, like, but it mostly just sticks on his stomach.
And it's like a TARDIS because it's bigger in the inside.
It is. And it's also like a TARDIS in that it literally has everything in it, like, that you could ever want. But it also leads to all these different worlds. Like, it's bizarre. Like, literally, your Belly Bag is so important.
I was so close to having you watch the episode. I can't think of the name of it, but the episode where Belly Bag gets sick. And so they have to travel down inside Belly Bag to cure Belly Bag. And the world inside of Belly Bag is just so bizarre, as you can probably expect. But that, you know, that one specific thing about Uncle Grandpa, the Belly Bag, is what makes him a little bit Mary Poppins-ish. He's like a Mary Poppins plus acid plus I have no idea, something else in the mix is what Uncle Grandpa is, because like there is a little bit of Mary Poppins to it, you know, the magical character who comes and teaches the kids, but they don't even realize they're being taught almost, right. And it's just like it, you know, and you almost don't even realize you're being taught, and then it comes to the end of the episode and you're like, oh, I get it now, there was a lesson here,
right. Although, I mean, again, we'll kind of talk about the episode that you watched. The lesson's kind of, we'll talk about it, because it didn't quite,
Yeah, that did not go as planned. I think, you know, we'll talk about it. So the two episodes that we watched are Bad Morning and Aunt Grandma. And I wanted, Christine, I wanted you to watch Bad Morning.
Yes.
I knew that I wanted Aunt Grandma to be in the, you know, in the episode, but the reason why I wanted you to watch Bad Morning as opposed to Aunt Grandma is I think Aunt Grandma, Bad Morning, I think, is better at kind of showing the quirkiness of the show, and also, you know, what is kind of expected from Uncle Grandpa and like how he normally is. And then Aunt Grandma is kind of, it takes the show and kind of flips it on its head. So, you know, I'd rather that we have one where we're just like doing the normal show. And then we also talk about one where we kind of flip things on their head and look at how Uncle Grandpa kind of reacts in whenever he's challenged, basically. So we'll get to that first, but, let's start with Bad Morning.
Yeah. So Bad Morning, basically, you know, Uncle Grandpa, his kind of catchphrase is good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. And you know, he says that and he gets up every day and is very cheery. In fact, in the pilot episode, which I did watch to kind of because I've only kind of seen like bits and pieces of the show, so mm-hmm. I was trying to kind of like jump in. Like, it kind of shows him going through his morning routine, and he's usually very, very happy. But in Bad Morning, he is not.
Bad morning!
You know, he's very upset. He's going through the house, and, you know, again, he lives in this house with a belt bag and Gus and Pizza Steve and a giant realistic tiger. And he's coming downstairs and in an
RV, mind you.
In an RV, yes. He comes downstairs and he is just in a foul mood. And they're like, what's going on? And he's throwing stuff and he's just completely acting the opposite of how he usually acts. They're like, and at one point, Gus is like, you know, usually he's so nice. You know, he makes us breakfast. And he holds up an image of Uncle Grandpa making breakfast. And then he pulls the image away and you see Uncle Grandpa now, you know, literally breaking the skillet that he usually makes pancakes with.
At one point even he says they're talking about him helping kids, and then Uncle Grandpa's like, no, I hate kids. And that's when you know, like, oh boy, there's got to be something wrong.
Completely, because that's the thing, is that Uncle Grandpa, like, is all about the kids. Like, he's all about the kids. So you know something's wrong, and so they're trying to figure out what happened, and they're even trying to kind of bribe him. You know, they're saying, okay, what can we do to, like, make you happy? And, you know, like, literally everything that they come up with, he shoots down. I thought one of my favorite sight gags was at one point giant realistic tiger, flying tiger, like, holds up like a lottery check for $1.5 million, and it's immediately like burned. More money, more problems. That's really terrible. But then they figure out, Gus figures out that he has a rewind function,
which is just so ridiculous.
It is so ridiculous.
He has a rewind function.
And it's like, why not? Why not? I mean, that's the thing with this show is that again, it does not take place in any universe where there are rules. So they rewind things, and literally he starts going back in time. And this is a weird thing too, because the rewind happens, but it's like happening to him, but yet they're still existing while right. the rewind happens. Like, you honestly can't think too much about it, because if you do, you'll drive yourself crazy.
Right.
You'll have a bad morning. So what turns out that happened was that he got out on his race car bed, which is fantastic. Did you have a race car bed as a kid?
No, I always wanted one.
So did I.
So much envy for race car beds.
So much envy for race car beds. I wanted one so badly, and no, I was not allowed. My mom thought they looked cheap.
They are so cheap, but they're so cool.
But they're so cool. I'm going to be totally honest with you. Like, as a grown-ass adult, if there was a way for me to get a Casper mattress race car bed... Right? Like, wouldn't that be a great item?
Oh, that would be so good. I can't imagine convincing Shane that a race car bed makes sense, but like, yeah. I could go, I want to get one for my dog. Like, right. Henry needs a race
car
bed.
Okay, Henry needs, okay, you can get a dog bed. You have better chance than I do, because I think my husband, if I told Grant, I'm like, dude, we need to get a race car bed, I think he'd be like, no. He'd be like, no, that is not happening. But like, but it'd be so cool, baby.
But a race car bed.
But a race car bed. Come on, let's do it. No, so he has a race car bed, and he got out of the wrong side of the bed. And so Gus is like, well, how did this happen? You know, because his bed was put on the wrong side. He's like, clearly someone moved his bed around. How did this happen? And all of a sudden, like, Pizza Steve's like,
I was in the kitchen looking for a late night snack, and like usual, there was nothing to eat. And since I was starving and could possibly die of malnutrition, I decided to go out and get some nutritious ice cream.
And of course, as they're showing this in the history, like, you see a refrigerator full of food.
Everything is in the fridge, yes.
Everything is in the fridge. Also, he's a pizza slice.
Right. Yes. Technically, he himself is edible. And we should note, too, this is the character from Workaholics who just has, like, the most bro voice in the entire universe.
Yep.
And he plays a bro character. Like, Pizza Steve is the broiest of bros,
yes,
of, like, bro culture. And, yeah, so that, like, adds to who Pizza Steve is as a character.
And it's funny because it's like, he's just like, I don't know what I did. It's fine. Like, I was hungry and I wanted to get some ice cream, but the RV was locked up. And sure enough, there was like a big lock all over the RV. It's like they used the club. Remember the club?
The club.
You're probably not aware of the club.
Oh, yeah. The thing that you put on the steering wheel.
The steering wheel, yeah, to prevent people from, like, hijacking your car.
Yes.
You know, before cars got customized keys so you couldn't just do that stuff.
Yes, the club.
The club. It's like they had the club is what I wrote in my notes. So I was like, it's like the club with, like, you know, like a, you know, a bike chain. It's weird.
It's the club plus two-factor authentication.
Yes, it is. It's the club plus two-factor authentication. Regardless, what happened was that basically, like, he was not able to get...
he couldn't drive the RV.
He couldn't drive the RV. So he's like, well, I had to do the next best thing. I had to take the race car bed. Now, we mentioned before that Uncle Grandpa has a race car bed. Well, it turns out it's also a race car.
We didn't tell you it drove, but it drives. Of course it drives.
Of course it drives. So there's this great sequence where Steve is like, I was driving very carefully, and I wasn't out very late, and I got everything back on time. And he's raising hell. Like, he's speeding. He's, like, taking forever to get his ice cream sundae, and, like, Uncle Grandpa is asleep the whole time in the car.
I love how the keys are baby keys, too. It's like those little chewable keys that you give to children.
Completely. And he's driving his car. You know, he's racing hell. He's getting the ice cream. A cop is, like, leaving a ticket on the thing. He's like, but I did everything right. He was like, I wasn't out too late. He's like, coming back, the sun is coming up. And it's like, and I know I left it exactly where it was. So I don't know. I think in his sleep, Uncle Grandpa must have moved his bed. You know how he likes to sleepwalk? And everybody's just like, Steve, bro, dude. And Uncle Grandpa still at this point is very angry. And so at this point, you know, Gus is like, it is your fault that you did this. He's like, well, it's your fault that he escaped. Meanwhile, while he's been retelling this whole story, Uncle Grandpa has taken off.
In the race car bed.
And so the gang is like, oh no, he's having a bad day. And because let's be real. It's bad enough when he drives normally. Because he crashes into everything already.
But to have a bad morning and take off.
Exactly. You're like, dude, this is not good.
Especially with his, like, magical abilities to bend Earth and space-time. Like, you never know what Uncle Grandpa could do. He could summon a velociraptor or something and destroy everything.
Exactly. And so they're like, they all get in the RV and they're, like, taking off. They're like, all right, we're going to catch him. And so at this point... Uncle Grandpa decides to start driving up the side of a building
because
of course he does, and of course they follow because of course, as we said, gravity and physics don't exist in this universe. So literally, he's able to they're able to drive up the side of the building. It's like some Fast and Furious stuff,
and they even acknowledge the fact that
they even do. There's this one sequence that I love where literally there's a window cleaner who's cleaning the windows and they're driving by and they're leaving streaks, and the window cleaner just looks up. He doesn't see the cars go by, but he looks up and sees the stains made, and he's just like.
That is the most normal joke made in the entire show. I laughed so hard.
I did too. You're right. It is. It's the most non-surreal thing. It's the most And so while they're driving up the side of the building, they're basically trying to do everything they can to get him to go to sleep. They're singing him a very cute, very funny lullaby. It's just making him angry. They're throwing sheep from the sky. And the show has a thing with
sheep.
Yeah, so we can count the sheep. The show has a thing with sheep. But all of a sudden, instead of the sheep making him tired, he's just throwing the sheep down below at people. And so these poor people below are just
catching sheep,
and it's weird. And then finally, they say, okay, well, the only thing we have left to do is feed him this gigantic ice cream sundae, because the sugar will make him tired. And once he gets to sleep, we can make him wake up on the right side of the bed again.
Yeah, sugar crashes. Don't happen immediately, but again.
But again, I mean, in this universe, why not? But of course, Pizza Steve has a problem with this. He's like, well, we haven't exhausted every option. We haven't read your diary, Gus. That always puts me to sleep. And Gus is like, Gus is like, I can't even with you right now, Steve. And finally, basically they throw, at this point, what's happened is that Gus has gotten in the car with Uncle Grandpa and Pizza Steve and a giant realistic flying tiger are in the other car. And so, Uncle Grandpa is even refusing to eat ice cream. I mean, this is it's bad. And so
Because when I'm having a bad morning, the first thing I want is ice cream, not the last thing.
Totally. But what we've kind of discovered is that bad morning really means opposite day. So he's the opposite of his personality.
Exactly.
So they end up opening up his mouth and shoving all the ice cream in it. And sure enough, he falls asleep immediately. But of course, what happens is they've been driving up the side of this building. Now suddenly gravity exists.
Right. And, you know, once Uncle Grapple, see, but here's where like logic does take hold, because, you know, Uncle Grandpa is like the maker of the magic. So when he falls asleep, then all of like normal reality returns, except for the fact that there's a talking dinosaur, but you know.
Well, and talking piece of pizza and all the other stuff. Okay, but that's fair. That's totally fair that they basically, as soon as he falls asleep, the car starts sliding off the building and they're like, oh crap. So it ends up crashing into a building and everybody's very excited to see that they are in a pillow building, a pillow factory, and Uncle Grandpa's sleeping on sorts of pillows. But then, of course, it's not just pillows. It's a pillow and steel factory. So poor right. Gus. Poor Gus has landed on the steel portion of this. But Uncle Grandpa's on a giant thing of pillows, and he's asleep, and he's fine.
We have a pillow and steel factory down the street from us. So, yeah, not surprising.
Really? Really? That's good. That's interesting. You should take some photos of that.
I will. I'll send some photos to you of my pillow and steel factory that totally exists.
You should put them on our Tumblr. I think that'd be great.
Good idea. Right? I'll take a selfie of myself.
You'll take a selfie of yourself, Snapchat, and do the whole bag.
Yeah, if you need me to get a newspaper with today's date on it.
I was going to say, I'm going to need that. And I know you're pretty good at Photoshop. So don't even think about like editing like the... No, I'm kidding. So at this point, they get him back into bed and have him wake up, and he's like, good morning. And so at this point, you know, everything is good again. But now, to make sure that he never wakes up on the wrong side of the bed again, they've set up this ridiculous booby-trapped bed. And the booby-trapped...
There's a skeleton there.
Yes, I was going to say, I had this moment, it was like, what the hell is the skeleton doing there? And there's like a bear trap, like a bear claw trap, and there are all these other booby traps. And I'm like...
Maybe the skeleton is one of the Uncle Grandpas who did wake up on the wrong
side
of the bed.
Maybe it is. I don't know. All I know is that, like, what I'm saying is, like, okay, the bed, like, and it's also longer now. It's weird. And I'm like, okay, like, is he just never allowed to move around in bed again? Because
right. If he moves even a little bit, he's going to run into the barbed wire.
There's like a high voltage thing. There's barbed wire. Like, it's crazy.
I thought what they were going to do is just fasten the bed to the ground whenever they first like mentioned it.
Or take away the keys. I don't know.
Right. Don't give him his keys.
Don't give him his keys. Or, I don't know, Pizza Steve, just don't do that again.
Right. But like, we know we can't count on Pizza Steve not to act up.
That's so true. You can't count on Pizza Steve not to be a dude, bro. So, yeah, so basically, I kind of have it here. This was not sponsored by Casper. You know, Casper sponsors everything. They clearly did not sponsor this episode of Uncle Grandpa, because that bed looks so uncomfortable.
Right. When you sleep, that's hilarious. When you sleep on a Casper, you don't have to worry about waking up on the wrong side of the bed. But yeah, that bed looks very uncomfortable. That's hilarious.
Yeah, exactly. So, what I really liked about this, obviously the episode must have been a little bit short, because they have like this whole post show thing.
Yes, yes. I was going to ask you if you watched the shorts.
I did,
of
course
end.
I did. I loved it, because it's Uncle Grandpa in the bathtub, and he's been in the bathroom apparently for like 2 days or 2 weeks.
Uncle Grandpa, you've been in there for a week.
Okay, I'll be out in 2 minutes and 45 seconds.
And that's actually the amount of time left in the episode. And so he's playing with his favorite rubber ducky, email.
Right, of all things,
of
email.
All things. And not only that, but when you squeeze email, he doesn't make like a squeak like rubber ducky noise. He makes modem sounds.
Oh, Mr. Email, I love you.
This is great.
But why not, right?
Why not? Why not? But all of a sudden, he's in his bathtub. Again, this is the weird world we're in. And a tentacle comes up and seals email away from him, from his bathtub.
So which also always happens in New York, right?
I mean, yeah.
Tentacles, I mean, in the bathtub.
There are definitely things that come out of our pipes that we shouldn't talk about.
Other than Pizza Rat, Steve also comes out.
Exactly. Let's not talk about it. No, okay. No, I'm kidding. But basically, he has to swim back to the bottom of the ocean and find.
Right, down through the drain, into the ocean.
But there's this one moment where he finds Pizza Steve down there, and he's like, what are you doing down here, Pizza Steve? He's like, I come down here when I'm feeling sad. He's like, what? He's like, I come down here when I'm feeling cool. Like, Pizza Steve is actually kind of emo, which is kind of great. I love that little character development.
Yes.
But he's able to find that somebody took email to a cave. But it turns out what so happened weird. Was that there's this mix up. There's like this, you know, like eel or whatever who has a son who has like an email on it, like who has a
he's like a growth, so like a tumor. Growth.
He has like a
looks
tumor
like a rubber ducky.
That looks like a rubber ducky. He's like, I don't look like an email, and he's like, no, son, you don't. But
as he's bawling because he's so sad about the tumor.
So sad about the tumor. He's so sad. But what happened is he thought that was his kid. He was trying to save his child. Like,
which is sad. Which, like,
so, but meanwhile, so Uncle Grandpa saves email, goes back up, and then winds up re-entering his house. But this time he's entering through the sink.
In the kitchen.
In the kitchen. And everybody's what? Like, and he's like, oh yeah, we did come into the wrong room. Ho, ho, ho. And then it says Finn at the end. Get it? Like, quietly like Finn for
him. Oh golly.
The double entendre there. I enjoyed it.
Oh, it's so ridiculous and so hilarious. And, what I like about that part too is that I don't know if you noticed, but Uncle Grandpa's method of propelling himself through the ocean is farting.
Oh yeah, which is such an Uncle Grandpa thing. Like that's, but I didn't notice that. But that's great. That's amazing. I love that. So he literally propels himself by farting through the ocean.
Yep.
As one does. I mean,
right? Exactly.
I mean,
you know,
why not?
If I was in the ocean, that's how I would get around. Completely. To go save my long lost email.
No. Yep. Which, and again, it, like when he brings it back up, like it's you know making noises and it makes modem sounds, which again I think is like the greatest thing ever. Like to make like dial up sounds.
And what's hilarious about that too is like kids wouldn't
no,
even
no
know
idea.
What that sound.
I was going to say you probably don't really remember modem sounds that well.
Well, so the reason I do is because I spent part of my. Like time on the computer and on the internet at my grandparents' house, and they lived out in the country.
Gotcha.
And so I actually had to sit through the noises for quite a while waiting for the internet to start up. Exactly. Yeah. So I experienced my own little rubber ducky email sounds as a kid.
Yeah. No, that was, you know, until I went to college, that was how I had to get on the internet because cable hadn't come to my neighborhood until after I went to college. And so it was one of those things where like my first, I guess, like probably like, you know, 5 years online, 5-6 years online were done through dial-up.
Luckily, you didn't know any better. And
oh, well, no, because at school, it was still a little bit faster.
Okay, so you were spoiled.
Yeah, so it was one of those things, like, at school, we had high-speed networks and stuff, and, like, and then once I was, like, in 10th grade is when you started seeing some cable rollout, and so some people would get it, and then especially, like, subsequent years, like, literally, like, other neighborhoods, like, would get cable access, and, like, ours, like, did not come, and it was, like, so frustrating.
Yeah, I can't even imagine.
It's like when is cable or DSL going to come to our neighborhood?
It's like fiber for today.
Completely like
I don't have
like
fiber
that.
Yet, and I'm just like, why
same,
don't we
same.
Have fiber?
We don't either, so it's, like, the same sort of thing. At least, like, cable is super fast, but yeah. You know,
I want
it's
next
like,
level.
But you're like, but I want my gigabit. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's really
bad morning.
Weird tangent aside, but it is bizarre that in my lifetime of being on the internet, like I've seen it go literally from like 14.4, like to gigabit.
Wow, that's pretty awesome.
Like, right, 14.4 like kilobits per second. Okay, kilobits to gigabit speeds. Like it's insane. So, yeah, but the episode, it's adorable. I like that they kind of see what happens when Uncle Grandpa is not in control. I like
oh, yeah.
It.
It's a really fun episode. And I it kind of shows how the characters ultimately are kind of there for each other. And they are intent on making sure that Uncle Grandpa's job, like, gets done. And, you know, getting him back to good morning health. Because, like, that's the whole reason I like this show. Is because whenever I watch it, I do smile the whole time. And it's like, I don't want Uncle Grandpa to have a bad morning. So it was fun seeing how they ended up getting him back into good spirits. And, of course, the just strange and quirky things that happen along the way. Our next one that we watched is called Aunt Grandma. And if those of you listeners out there haven't caught on yet, that is the antithesis of Uncle Grandpa. And so the show starts with a kid playing a guitar who we end up finding out his name's Zach. And Uncle Grandpa, like he usually does on episodes where he's able to help kids because he's not having a bad morning, he crashes into the house with the RV. And that's why Christina was talking earlier about, you know, how bad it is whenever he's even in a good morning and he's crashing into things. And he's telling Zach, yo, I want to take you to space and teach you how to be a rock star.
Stop plucking around on that axe because we're going to space.
Space?
All rock stars come from space. That's why they're spaced out all the time.
Because Zach's holding the guitar and playing it or whatever. And Zach's like, I don't really want to go to space. I have everything I need right here. And so I love this part because Uncle Grandpa's like poring over the guitar, looking at all the little bits and bops and talking about how it's like, I don't know, Stratocaster, blah, 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 Maplewood, this and that. And what we find out is that the guitar was given to him by Aunt Grandma. We hear this like British voice, this British light voice in the background.
Over here, old man.
Whoa!
I'm your Aunt Grandma.
Whoa!
Aunt Grandma describes herself as a faster, smarter, and cuter version of Uncle Grandpa.
And it's all true, I have to say.
Oh, she's so cute.
Even her car is cuter. We'll see that later, but everything about her is adorable.
Oh yeah, she is a souped up version of Uncle Grandpa, or we think so at first at least. And so Aunt Grandma is tall, and she has red hair like Uncle Grandpa, and she wears the same outfit as he does. She does not have a mustache, and she is basically like she's giving Zach what he wants without having to go through an adventure, because that's Uncle Grandpa's thing. Like he takes these kids on an adventure, and we kind of talked about how the whole time you're like, dude, you are causing this kid so much trouble whenever you could just, you know, give the person what they want. And Uncle Grandpa's thing is to, like, teach them through these methods.
Exactly. And she's like, she doesn't want to bother. Like, you don't got to learn any lessons with Aunt Grandma. Like, Aunt Grandma's like, whatever, man. Like,
you need
a guitar kid? Here you go. You know, like, I'm just gonna fulfill your wishes. She really is much more like Mary Poppins.
Yeah, or like even a fairy godmother.
That's really what it is. She's more like a fairy godmother, although she has a lot of Mary Poppins-esque things, as we'll discuss later on. Yeah.
Yes, yes. And, you know, we're about to... She says beautiful morning instead of good morning.
Yep.
And she leaves. And then Uncle Grandpa starts to say that he thinks he's seen her somewhere before, or that he recognizes her. And Bellybag is like, no, we don't have time to reminisce right now. We need to go help Helga in Sweden. So like what was about to happen is we were about to find out like who Aunt Grandma is. But instead we go to Sweden where Helga just wants to play some hockey. Right. I just need a hockey stick so I can play with my friends.
And Uncle Grandpa's like, well, we can climb up a mountain and the tallest mountain. And then we can fight a hockey coach monkey thing.
A polar bear, right.
Polar bear hockey coach. And this will be great. And she's like, but I just want to play hockey.
And so Aunt Grandma appears because she knows that she just wants to play hockey. And she gives Helga a hockey stick. And at this point, we kind of start to see Grandpa getting a little bit...
He is upset. He was like, well, that's not going to help her learning. She's not going to be able to do anything with that. And of course, little girl is like winning the game. Like,
she's shooting it and getting it right into the net and everything. And this is where Aunt Grandma says, simple problem, simple solution. And then she calls Uncle Grandpa a simple man.
Right.
But she likes the idea of just like, hey, all she needed was a hockey stick, and it's my job as Aunt Grandma to bring you a hockey stick.
And you know, honestly, like at this point, like that's not a terrible...
No.
That's not a terrible solution.
I would want.
I would want it too. Like as a kid, I can be totally dead honest and be like, yeah, actually, you know what? It seems like this would be a waste of time for me to have gone on this adventure, especially if I don't even know if I would have gotten the hockey stick. Like, if the whole point of your Uncle Grandpa is to, like, grant me stuff and, like, help me with things, like, I should at least be able to, I mean, because you're concerned. You're like, am I going to actually...
I've heard about you, Uncle Grandpa,
I've heard some things about you, and it seems odd to me that,
I just need to know, if I do this with you...
Am I actually going to get what I want, exactly, or is this just going to be some craziness? Is this just going to be some shenanigans? Because I don't know, I've seen some episodes of the shows, I think it might just be some shenanigans. So yes, you kind of understand where she's coming from.
For sure, yeah, I think that she's, you know, for some reason, Aunt Grandma is like... she saw an opening in the market. She's the Uber of Uncle Grandpa. She's Uncle Grandpa as a service.
She is the Uber of Uncle Grandpa because she's like,
what's here now sucks and you have to go through a rigmarole like right. Taxis.
And she looks kind of nice on the outside, but she's kind of, as we'll discuss, she's got some problematic qualities too. The Uber analogy really works well here.
Oh my gosh, it does. And I didn't
even think about it.
Now we've got to build on top of this. This is one of my favorite things is like making analogies fit that may or may not. This one I think it's doing a pretty good job. So next we're going to go visit Lil Gregory and our dear friend. Little Gregory wants a fish for his fish.
Oh, that's right. He wants a fish for his fish. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. And we've got one more before that one.
At this point, this kid just wants a fish. He's got this great fish bowl, but no fish. And Uncle Grandpa's like, we're going to go have an adventure and we're going to go underwater and we're going to find you a fish. I promise.
This is where we get to see the Uncle Grandpa replicator, as you mentioned earlier, because there are like 15 Uncle Grandpas that appear. And there's this musical number where Uncle Grandpa and Uncle Grandpa and Uncle Grandpa and Uncle Grandpa are singing.
Let's set sail for the seven seas. We will find a remedy. If you don't believe us, just ask Mr. Gus. Well, Lirabeta Magic Hook ensures they would have it. Look, fishing is still fun. Take it from me and me.
Yeah, because he wants to take him on the SSUG, like the SS Uncle Grandpa.
And I love musical number, like short musical numbers in cartoons. I don't know why. I just always do, especially in shows like this where they're weird, you know, like a normal show where there's like a Disney style, musical number, not as fun, but these ones were, I mean, same thing for Clarence, like the music in Clarence will always and forever be some of my favorite cartoon musical breaks. And same thing goes for this, but, you know, again, Uncle Grandpa has to have some complicated thing, you know, let's go into the sea and let's go over here, Lil Gregory. And he's like, no, I just want to fish my fishbowl. So Aunt Grandma appears and she's got a fish for him, which is awesome.
Which is what he wanted. I mean, you know, I mean, but poor Uncle Grandpa at this point, he's really just dejected because he like put his whole soul into that song, into that pitch. Like he was like, right, we're going to go under the sea and get you new fish today. It won't be boring. Don't you worry. You know, like...
I mean, Aunt Grandma throws some shade because as she's leaving, she says, ta-ta, Uncle Lame Paw.
Yeah, she does. Oh. She's like, at this point, like, shots are fired. And then at this point, when she goes away, like, even her car you see is cuter and better.
Oh, yeah. Like, she's got an awesome car.
Her car is fantastic.
I
want her car. I mean, because that RV is kind of messed up.
Right. But, race car bed or Aunt Grandma car?
Aunt Grandma car.
And again, here we go with the Uber analogy. Yeah. Got the nice car.
Yeah, exactly.
What is that? Uber Black?
Uber Black. She's the total Uber Black in this thing. Or like one of the special editions where, you know, like they sometimes have like, she's like totally. Because you know that she would also be the Uber driver that would have like the Capri Suns and the snacks in the back.
Exactly. You know? Yes.
It would like completely have.
But you have to pay so much extra for her.
Yeah, but you know what? It would be like. Now you feel like you're in like lap of luxury. Like you feel like you really do. It is your. You do feel like you have your own personal driver.
I am a movie star. And exactly. I feel so cool right now.
That's exactly how it feels.
So you know, as you said, Uncle Grandpa is sad, and he's walking along in the RV again, and he's, oh, I can't do anything. I can't help anyone. I can't fix this. I can't fix that. And the whole time that he's talking, his hands are moving around and solving
people's
problems.
Fixing everybody's problems. Yeah. Like he's literally like walking past Gus, who's trying to lift up his barbell, and the pizza Steve, who's trying to open a pickle jar, and the computer dude, who's trying to solve a mathematical equation, and giant realistic looking tiger who is trying to knit a sweater, and all these things are solved just by him walking through. It's great.
Yeah, and so they point that out to him. They're like, well, who was it? It was Bellybag. Bellybag is like,
dude,
you just helped all of these people, and it's in your nature to help people. And so we see this like this epic monologue as Uncle Grandpa is like talking about how I'm Uncle Grandpa and this is what I do and this is who I am and no one can tell me otherwise, and I will take care of the world and I will help kids and I will do it the Uncle Grandpa way because that's how it's done. And he's going on and on. And
if you don't like it, I'll show you because I'm Uncle Grandpa, you know, like It's great. Like
he's got his courage and his self confidence back, and it's a good moment. We're like, yay, Uncle Grandpa!
Stella did get her groove back, and it's a great day. You see, like, yeah, it's fantastic. And so there, and everybody's like, yay, Uncle Grandpa!
So they go, it's time to help somebody else because that's what Uncle Grandpa does. And there's a kid named Tommy who wants to be a novelist.
Yes.
And now
I paused the screen to see like the images of the writers on his wall. And I saw Shakespeare and I'm going to be honest, I didn't know who the other two dudes were.
I didn't know who they were either.
I think Dickens was probably one of them, but I don't know. Who those kids were, writers were, but it was really funny that the clearly Tommy is like of all the kids to like say no, and I'm just looked this up. It was not Charles Dickens. I have no idea who the other writers were on the wall, but he has these three photographs up on his wall. He's a very angsty kid. He's a very emo kid. I just can't do it. I have no motivation. How can I write my great novel?
He's such a little dramaturg. And he wants to write a novel, and he thinks that the only way that that's possible is by, you know, going on an adventure, you know, to get the experience.
Right, which makes sense. I mean, he would need an adventure. But this is where we start to see Aunt Grandma, like...
Her
methods might not work, because she comes in, she's like, oh, here you are, Tommy, here's a Power Max Pro computer. And I'm like, Power Max Pro? Okay, that's... interesting.
I love the name. That's hilarious.
Too, Power Max Pro. I was like, oh, okay. I see what you did there. I got you. I see you.
Tommy seems a little taken aback by the fact that, you know, all Aunt Grandma has for him is a laptop. And because she's like,
yeah,
let's get rid of those like caveman writing tools,
right,
or something like that.
And this is
one of those like the tool versus the creator,
the craft,
or something like
yeah.
that. I can't think of what that's called. But
yeah, completely where it is, where he's. But well, no, it's not the art of my craft. And she's like, not understanding that you can't just give somebody the tool, like you've got to have more to it. I will say this though, Tommy was a little ungrateful because that laptop was pretty nice.
Right, that was a doggone Power Max Pro.
It's a Power Max Pro. I mean, like as someone who's recording this on a MacBook Pro, I was going to say Power Mac Pro because that made me.
They got you.
It did get me, but you know, like it looks like a nice laptop. You know,
oh,
it's
for
like
sure.
That's not cheap. That's certainly a really nice gift. I mean, you could be like, okay, well, I would like some inspiration, please. But like, she's trying.
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying that her method made sense or was like totally correct, but like, be a
she
little grateful, dude.
Right. At least say thanks for
At
the thing.
At least say thank you. Don't be like petulant.
Right, exactly. And we, you know, if the Power Max Pro isn't good enough for Mr. Tommy, then clearly we need Uncle Grandpa and his storytelling way.
Yeah.
I mean, sorry, his adventuring ways. And I like this part because...
I do too.
It kind of goes back and you know, figures out how to involve kind of all the rest of the kids that Uncle Grandpa kind of failed at first. Because Uncle Grandpa takes Tommy on an adventure, and it starts with him going to space and taking our friend Zach at the beginning, who was playing the guitar, and putting him on a star so that he can be a star in space on a star. And then we go...
Because all rock stars are from space.
Right, yeah. I mean, hello, David Bowie.
Yep.
Let's keep going down the list that I... Anyway, all rock
Freddie
stars
Mercury.
Are from space. Yeah, there you go, Freddie Mercury. And so we visit Helga in Sweden, and she is playing against the polar bear now, and she is kicking butt
She's
against that
great.
Polar bear.
She's great.
And then Gregory gets to, the one who wanted a fish, he gets to meet a whale, and he ends up giving it a big hug. And Uncle Grandpa, like, as he's going to each of these things, he's kind of saying, like, why would you want a little fish whenever you could have the biggest fish in the sea? Or why would you want to play against humans whenever you could beat the best polar bear playing hockey player, blah, 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 in the whole world? And so it's just kind of like, look, these mind-bending experiences that I can give you oftentimes are something that will give you more excitement and joy in your life than just solving the here and now problem. So Uncle Grandpa's trying to, I think, show his worth.
Yeah, he's trying to show there's a method to his madness, that he really is helping these kids. And that's a great lesson. There's just one problem. There's the kid that Uncle Grandpa didn't help, and actually seems like he did a pretty terrible job with, actually.
For sure. Yeah, and that is Aunt Grandma.
Aunt Grandma. She was a little girl named Priscilla Jones. She said, I was the one child you couldn't help. And so they go back in time to 1993. And I have to say that I love that she's British and it's 1993. And yet all the things in her room are America in 1993. So there's a poster of Bill Clinton. And there's the thing that says, you know, like, I love grunge. I heart grunge, which is great. And Uncle Grandpa comes in and he's got plaid on.
And it's
great.
A photorealistic photo of Clinton, too.
Yes, it's a photorealistic picture of Clinton, which is so great. So, but Uncle Grandpa comes bursting. She's trying to, like, do her science experiment. And he comes in, and he's wearing plaid, and he looks like a hippie, and he's all obsessed with hacky sack. And as somebody who remembers that movement of 1993 and who was a child in 1993, I can attest this is all accurate.
Well,
he also has a T-shirt on that says Pearl Ham. Which I loved.
Oh, dear. It's hilarious.
You know, Eddie Vedder actually has a really good steakhouse in Austin, Texas. So that's even funnier. Yeah, it does. It's a good restaurant. I ate there once a number of years ago. It was good.
Well, you'll have to go back sometime.
I doubt that I ever will. But yeah, it's one of those things. But yeah, so, you know, she recounts the story about how, you know, he broke her. She was doing, you know, a science experiment where she would, like, create a volcano.
Which, come on, they're all of the story aside, like, come on, a doggone volcano. That's
like, really, that's so trope. I mean, it's like such like a, even for 1993, like, that was boring. Like,
but it kind of fits with, I think,
but it does with her whole thing.
The kind of quick, easy fix.
Well, not even that so much. I think that's just like, that's what you do when you're that age. And she felt like that would be a surefire winner. I don't think it's a quick, easy fix.
That's probably a good way to put it.
She figured like it'd be like a surefire winner.
What can I do to make sure that I secure first place?
Exactly.
I'm not going to take any risks.
I'm not going to take any risks. So I'm going to do this thing that I know the judges will like, that will have a fair, you know, thing, but I'm not going to do anything fun, but just the safe thing. And that's what this was.
Yeah, that's a good point. I like that. That's a good way to put it.
So, but he, you know, he's like, he actually breaks off a part of the top of her, volcano. And he's like, oh, I'll help you do it. And so he takes her to space and they play hacky sack
with
Martians. And she's just not having it.
She's angry. She's having a bad morning,
which left me with no time to fix my project, resulting in a second place finish at the science fair. And it was all your fault. And I hated you for it.
Well, I kind of understand because he's like the Cat in the Hat at this point. He bursts into her room uninvited. She didn't need help the way he was helping her. She would have actually been okay on her own. And he breaks her project. And then instead of giving her time or even helping her fix it, like, he wastes her time by, like, taking her to space. And as cool as that might have been and as great as that would be, like, she's just playing hacky sack on there with Martians and she's just not having it. So she gets second place at the science fair and her life is ruined.
Right. Because for her, that, like, is a really big deal.
And I think that it points out, I think, one of the flaws in Uncle Grandpa's method, which is he's not always thinking about, like, the kids. Like, he's thinking about, like, what's the best way I would like to help them, not what's the best way they could be helped.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely fair. Because there are times whenever the kid is even almost practically proclaiming, like, no, I do not need this, or no, I don't want this. And he's still just kind of going along with what he wants. And, you know, that episode I think it was when I first talked about Uncle Grandpa on this show, was the episode where the boy is wanting to be popular at a new school and Uncle Grandpa gives him, like, this hair stuff that ends up making his hair come alive and, hurting other people. And so it's like, that is not a way to help a kid become popular at a new school or to, like, break out of his fear. And in the end, yes, it was fine because then the kids were so happy that he saved them all from his hair, which is, you know, like, the logic doesn't really add up there, but we'll disregard again because it's Uncle Grandpa. But here, like, what's sad about it is, you know, what we're about to talk about, which is, you know, he remembers her as a kid and he's sorry. And, he says that the reason that he, did that was because he was trying to teach her that all work and no play makes, Priscilla a sad person, basically.
Right. And, or maybe I just wanted to teach you hacky sack. I was really into hacky sack.
And she goes manic. Like,
right. She's just like, that is not who I am. And she cannot deal. And so.
No, she kind of breaks. You see her break basically on the inside.
You should have some fun once in a while, or you just might snap.
Yeah, I'll show you some snaps.
Because he's basically telling her that the only way she can have value is to, like, not care about perfection.
Exactly. Which is not who she is.
No, it's not.
And again, it's very selfish. It's who
it is. It is kind of its lousy lesson, frankly.
It is.
Which is why I think the ending of the show is so interesting. So she goes crazy.
Oh, and they fight.
They fight.
They fight.
Or they have like a real fight.
Yeah, like, which I was a little, I'm not even going to lie to you, like, I know that I probably shouldn't even care, but I was a little uncomfortable with the fact
that the guy hit a girl?
Yes.
Yeah, me too, okay?
Yeah, because the first time I watched it, I was a little uncomfortable, and then this time I watched it, I tried to, like, understand why I wouldn't be why it would be okay and why people wouldn't be bothered by it. And like,
it's not okay.
At the beginning when he rolls himself up into a ball and he hits her in the stomach, like that part seemed like
seemed fine to me. Like I was okay with that, because I'm like, she'd just come at him and he's like not like using
he
his
didn't
fists.
You know, like, yeah, there weren't any arms or anything like that. Like, he kind of became an inanimate object and got her in the stomach. And then like I saw him use the soda to spray at her, and I was like, okay, maybe I don't remember, maybe he just like uses other tools to try to get her away.
Oh.
But no, at the end they literally start punching each other.
Yeah,
and like, oh, I don't know what message this is.
I don't think it's okay for anybody to hit anybody, but I'm gonna be totally real with you, like, there is still something, I mean, because patriarchy, it's still weird of me, like, to see, like, even cartoon characters, like, male cartoon characters hitting female cartoon characters.
Right, absolutely.
It's it's not okay. It's not okay to hit anybody, but it's, like, not okay.
It's doubly not, like, I don't know, I grew up with training from, like, it wasn't from my dad, it was from my mom and my grandma, who were both like,
you don't ever
put your hands on a girl, ever.
No.
Like, whether it's hitting or smacking or what have you, you don't do that.
You don't hit
exactly.
girls.
I mean, so, you know, it's built into me. And so that's what, it did make me feel weird, but then I was just like, okay, gotta keep in mind this is a cartoon.
but I'm looking at this, I'm like, this is still a weird message to send to kids.
Yeah, because,
like,
it's going to children, and that's,
it's going to kids, and I'm like, I don't know about this. And I know that she's like kind of a villain here, but at the same time, I kind of also understand where she's coming from. Like, she doesn't have malicious intentions. She's become Aunt Grandma because she wants to right what she perceives as his wrongs. She's
exactly.
not a terrible person. She's not
no.
a bad character.
And she was doing just fine until he made her snap by basically getting wrong what, like, he misunderstood almost what she was having a problem with. And in trying to explain what she was having a problem, or he mansplained her.
He did
mansplain
her. Oh my
God, he mansplained her.
He totally mansplained her. And then he hit her. Like,
oh no, I thought I liked Uncle Grandpa,
no,
but I'm
no,
learning
no,
some
no,
bad
no.
things
not,
tonight.
We're okay, we're not going to get all into that. Like, we still love the show and it's an adorable show, but he did. He totally mansplained her.
He mansplained her and she cracked.
Now, in fairness, I don't think that he mansplained her because she's a woman and he's a man. I think it's because he's Uncle Grandpa and he would Uncle Grandpa anybody.
Well,
like,
and
I think
he's
just selfish.
He's broken up that he, right. And I think that he is a little broken up that he didn't, you know, in his mind, whether it's serving him or serving someone else, he thinks he's helping people. And so for her to be like, you didn't help me, you hurt me, he's like, oh crap. Like, that's not what I do. I help people. Let me show you how I helped you in that instance.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was more, again, it's a selfish thing. He's trying not to feel bad about the fact that he hurt her. And he's trying to explain to himself, I think, and to her also that, you know, this is what I was doing. But well, yeah, he ended up mansplaining her and she was not going to have it.
Can we talk about this? When they started kind of getting into their fight, they both run into this vending machine. Which is a great moment. And I have to say, part of what stuck out to me about this was that he even comments, he's like, oh, this kid has a vending machine in his room. And you're like, oh my God, Tommy's the coolest kid ever.
Right.
But also, this vending machine had both soda and chips in it.
Right. Where do I get one of these?
Thank you, because I'm like, this is amazing. And I love that as all this is happening, as they're killing each other, Gus and Pizza Steve are just chilling.
Someone really should stop this fight.
Yeah, somebody should.
Right. They're just kind of watching from the side.
They're literally snacking and watching on. And like, honestly,
this vending machine is cavernous too.
Yeah, yeah. I can't even hate on him for that though, because I would not want to get involved. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, oh yeah. There's no
like
way
she's
I'm
going crazy. He's going nutso, and I would just be like, you know what, y'all do your thing.
Like, okay, there's a fight going on, and then there is a cavernous vending machine with both soda and chips. Like, I'm snacking.
I'm totally snacking. That's what I want. So, one thing I kind of noticed about her character is that she's kind of a cross between Pippi Longstocking and Mary Poppins.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about her look.
Yeah. Yeah, I can definitely see that.
Okay, but so at the very end of the episode, she basically decides she's going to get her ultimate revenge, and she steals his mustache.
Right, which we can kind of like assume, or we think is kind of like his source of power.
I think it might be the source
almost.
Of his power. We don't know. And then she like gets on an umbrella and like flies away.
She really goes manic at that point, and she's like, I'm Uncle Grandpa now. And she takes out her umbrella and just zooms out into the sky and flies away. And like, are they going to go after her? Are they going to, you know, try to fix things? Are they going to, you know,
what's going to happen next?
Right. What's going to happen next? No, Uncle Grandpa just squeezes his nose and another mustache grows back.
Yep.
Because again, it's, why not?
Yep.
And yeah, that's,
and
that's
the episode
pretty,
ends. That's how it ends. Like, literally, he squeezes his nose, he gets another mustache, and she's falling off, and you're like, what?
Right. When does Uncle Grandpa fix this problem?
Right. I have to say, like, I wrote in my notes, that ending, though, is literally what I wrote, because I was like, okay, so what lesson are we supposed to have learned?
Right. Yes.
Because... No,
I think here, you know, this is one of those rare episodes. Well, rare from the ones that I've seen, at least, because I've seen a lot from volume one, but I haven't seen a lot from volume two. Rare in the sense that, there isn't really a lesson learned. And as like we're dissecting this, I'm certainly coming across more issues than I originally kind of picked up in this. And so that's been very interesting too. But yeah, I think, overall, this episode is fun again because
fun.
Uncle Grandpa's being challenged. And
oh,
it's
I like,
that
a lot. And I have to say, I like Priscilla.
Oh, yeah.
I
yeah,
think
Aunt
she's
Grandma's
awesome.
Fun.
Aunt Grandma's really fun. Like, I really think she's awesome. Like, and also, you know what's good about it? It gives him an adversary.
Yes.
Which he doesn't have a lot of.
No, he really doesn't. He is often the one who has to be both the villain and the hero, because it's him who causes the problems
right.
that they then have to kind of solve. And so to give him like a real person to kind of fight against it's interesting. So this episode has a lot of, meat to chew on, I think, where we're actually seeing some, I don't know, some real storytelling here where it's not always just why not.
Right.
He's really got to show his stuff and show like why his methods are good.
Yeah,
and in the meantime, she's showing hers as well.
Yeah, and I also like that even if you don't always agree with his methods, like I like the fact that like you get to kind of hear him state his thesis statement about what he does, which is helping kids.
Yeah, I like that too. You know, where we literally went to every scene and said, or every kid who had a problem in this episode and said, so this is what I would have done. And this is why this makes sense. And then we go over here and like, this is what I would have done. And this is why this makes sense. And so you kind of go, okay, that's why you wanted to have him go chase a whale instead of just
right.
Get a little fish. But again, we can kind of see how Aunt Grandma's methods work too. Again, it didn't work in the last one. So
right.
It's like they act like this town ain't big enough for the two of us, but really
but I think
it is.
It totally would be because not every kid would need everything. Like I still think even though the little girl, you know, like Heidi might have had like more fun. Wasn't her name Heidi?
Helga.
Helga. Helga might have had more fun, you know, playing against the polar bear. Like that's certainly cool. Like, who's to say that she wouldn't have just been very happy playing against her school friends, too?
Right.
You know what I mean?
And, right. And most of all, I think, is the first kid. Because,
yes.
Like, he got a really nice guitar.
He got a really nice guitar. And he was shredding it. He was doing really well. Like, honestly, like, his dreams didn't, like, he didn't need to go to space. Like,
right.
That's cool and all. But, like, he was really enjoying himself.
And then, you know, Uncle Grandpa had to add like an extra complication that we really didn't need. And I think as a kid, I would probably prefer the aunt. Well, see, here's the thing is like, I would like both.
I would want somebody like for certain things. I would want like Aunt Grandma to just like give me the tool so I could do it. But at the like other times, like a
PowerMax Pro laptop.
Yeah, I would. Right. But in other cases, like I'd want the adventure. I mean, mm-hmm. what this comes down to, frankly, is this becomes like, you know, like give a man a fish, leap for a day. He should man a fish, you know, he'll eat for life or whatever.
Right.
I guess that's the underlying message they're trying to get, except that's not actually completely accurate in this case. Because in either case, you're not really, you're still doing wish fulfillment regardless.
Yeah, and I think they're also trying to teach the whole like you shouldn't spend your life being so serious, but in doing that they kind of completely stomp on the idea that people should at sometimes be serious,
and right, also they kind like, of invalidate people who might want to be more serious.
Or even accepting like I don't know, others' points of views is kind of trampled on in this on both sides, because Aunt Grandma can't really see.
Oh, you know, she can't Uncle at Grandpa's all. She's completely like, you know, bullheaded in her point of view. And that's kind of what's interesting about both of them. Neither of them can really see where the other is coming from.
Exactly. That's the problem, is that they're both so caught up in their own thing that, you know, she wants to right all his wrongs and be the antithesis of Uncle Grandpa. And because he is who he is and as always, you know what I mean? Like he even has that monologue where he's saying, I'm Uncle Grandpa and you can't change that. So yeah, they're both so caught up in their own ways that we don't really get to see, like they could team up. And yeah,
exactly,
you know,
because sometimes the simple solution really is easier. And I think that's great. Apparently, she returns in the episode Uncle Grandpa Retires.
Ooh.
But I haven't seen that episode.
I haven't seen that one yet. Now I'm gonna have to watch. I'm gonna have to buy that one and watch it after this.
I think it might be on Netflix. It might be on Netflix.
Okay.
We'll find out.
Yeah, I'll have to watch that one because now
not,
I'm curious.
You can buy it, but yeah, So I'm glad to know that we haven't seen the last of her.
Yes, and that's what Gus and Pizza Steve say, is that we haven't seen the last of you. I don't think we've seen the last of her.
Yeah, which is weird because and then the episode ends, and you're like, okay, well, are we going to see you or not? Exactly. I'm like, are you going to continue or are you not? Because the episode just ends really abruptly with him growing his mustache back. And then it's like, okay, bye.
Well, and another thing to note about this one, too, is because it went it ends and it ends. There aren't any shorts because the episode went like the full 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's another thing for the listeners out there, is that this is one of those 2 per 30 minute section of TV, but it's about 20 or so minutes. Each episode is 10 minutes. So you can devour a lot of Uncle Grandpa in a short period of time.
Totally.
For sure. So, overall thoughts about Uncle Grandpa before we get into, what we're watching.
I really like it. I think that it's surreal as all get out. It's a show where I'm convinced that everybody involved with it is high, like the majority of the day. Because I think you would have to be to come up with some of these ideas. But I really like it. I'm interested to know what other kids think about it. What kids today think about it. Like, not adults. What actual kids think about it. I have a feeling that they probably would like it because the character's funny and silly and goofy, says funny things. But I wonder, like, how much they're actually paying attention to the plot lines, because it's so surreal. It is one of those interesting shows. Like, Gumball is a surreal show, but it's still grounded in, like, a plot that makes sense.
Yeah, there's a plot that you can kind of, and like the characters react in ways that humans do.
Completely.
Whereas this is not.
Like, this is literally like, whoa. Okay. I mean, it's very psychedelic. It's very like, I don't know. It's a fun show. I think it's really cute. And he's a great character. I love Pizza Steve. I have to say.
Pizza Steve is the broiest of bros, but
he's delightful at it. And like, you know what I like about him? He makes no apologies for being Pizza Steve.
Right. I'm Pizza Steve. Damn it. I don't care.
I'm so cool. And you're like, yeah, you've got, you know, Ray-Bans on and then your pepperoni slice. You are pretty freaking cool. I'm not going to lie. That's pretty awesome.
And what's best about him is how vulnerable he actually is.
Exactly. Like, of course he is, because he's super cool. He's got his black sunglasses on. He's got to cover up his soul, man.
Right. And I forgot to mention earlier, whenever in Bad Morning, the way that they get to the bottom of Pizza Steve lying is Mr. Gus pulls pepperonis off of his body. He like tortures him to get the answer out of him.
Spill the beans, Pizza Steve.
Whoa! How dare you accuse me of this? Whoa, wait, what are you doing? Oh, I swear, man, I don't know. No, stop. Okay, stop. I'll talk.
Pizza Steve is like secretly really vulnerable I guess we learn in that short too that he like goes down and gets sad in his little saddy hole or whatever.
Yeah.
I feel the same way about this show, obviously. Like I talk about this show all the time. I love telling other people to check it out. But in terms of plot, I think that, I have a feeling that that's really not for the kids, at least for this show.
Yeah.
It kind of just seems to be a, let's put things together. And again, what you keep saying, I think is really what the writer's room is saying. Why not? Why not? But, for some reason for me, it works. And I watch it and I'm like, you know what? This is one of those shows where I just kind of release my inhibitions, and just watch it and don't care. You know what I mean? Like I don't ask questions. Although it's kind of funny because the things that everyone once in a while I will like, now I want, you know, why did they do this or do that? And then I realize that my asking that doesn't even compare to me just asking the simple fact of like, why is a slice of pizza talking? You know what I mean? Like I'm not even asking the most bizarre questions. I'm asking like ridiculous questions related to things whenever, like in the first place, I've already given up on reality because I'm watching a show where completely a pizza slice talks or whatever. So, the show's fun if you can get into something where it's just like, don't care about, you know, asking questions. Like it just is what it is. Like, you know, Uncle Grandpa can open up a rift in the space time and transport to another universe. And he takes over as like ruler of this planet, this alien planet. And you just are like, okay, that's what he does. That's what he can do. It's a fun show and they go on a lot of different adventures. And I don't know. I like their little dynamic where we've got Mr. Gus doing his womp womp thing and, Pizza Steve always, you know, trying to tout how great he is and, Giant Realistic Flying Tiger. We didn't see too much of like, her abilities in this show, which by the way, she doesn't talk. She only roars.
She roars, but she's great. I love her.
She's great. And they fly on her sometimes. She like rainbows come out of her back end, yep, like that cat. And I can't think of the name. I don't know how to pronounce it for sure. I know there's like a disagreement on whether it's like Nyan cat or Nyan cat or whatever. But anyway, that cat that has a rainbow coming out of its rump. And yep, so Giant Realistic Flying Tiger, that's how it or she flies. Anyway, so there, it's a fun show and it's just so ridiculous. And I just love the idea of why not. And I think that this show takes why not and makes some interesting and hilarious, things out of it.
Yeah, I agree completely. I agree completely.
So when you aren't watching ridiculous shows and asking why not, what were you watching this week?
So, I've been watching a show that is one of my favorite cartoons ever, that I haven't seen in a long time. It is available. I believe it's on Netflix or Hulu. It's on or both. Not with the original music, but I was able to obtain a copy with the original music. I've been watching Daria.
Ah, yes. How does that, how's that said?
La, 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 la. No, it's so good. It's fantastic. And, it's one of my favorite shows ever and it still holds up so well. And it's such a jam. I think that kids today still can really appreciate it, even though many of the references are so completely 90s.
What is, what's your favorite thing about the show? What made you want to go back and watch it again?
Well, I think so. I was in high school or middle, I was in middle school when it started. And, it was a spinoff of Beavis and Butthead. Daria was a character in Beavis and Butthead, but then the show had this completely different vibe. I like it for a number of reasons. One, it's one of the first, shows that I remember, like, of kind of like more, you know, adult or teen oriented, cartoons that had a female, protagonist,
mm-hmm,
and where everything is told through the lens of a teenage girl. And I actually can't think of any other cartoons that are like that,
no,
where literally the entire lens is told through a teenage girl. And she's an outsider at that. She's an outsider in a way that you kind of understand. Like people don't hate her. She's just, you know, chooses to be by herself a lot of times. She has her friend Jane. she kind of despises the world, which I think most people in high school can completely like relate to. You know, she's a relatable character in that thing. She's very smart, very funny. You know, she's got her sister who's the popular one who kind of lets people things go through that lens. You know, there's a lot happening in the show. It's a teen show, but it's taking place in a cartoon, and it's a really solid show. And so I wanted to just kind of watch it again, especially with the original music. And so it's just it holds up really well. It's still worth watching even with the music replacements, which is a shame, but it took them a long time to even get the show out on DVD and then to streaming, but they had to replace all the music that they had because when it aired on MTV, they were able to have a lot of popular music of the day
in
it. And they were able to, you know, get away with that because if your show aired on MTV, you didn't have to pay the licensing costs.
Right.
Because MTV made arrangements with the artists. But once you go into syndication or on home video, that changes. And so, you know, but it's a show where, like, I really admire the fact that it ran for a number of seasons that MTV let this show run that was a cartoon, you know, more an adult-oriented, you know, teen-focused cartoon. The audience was definitely teenage girls, mm-hmm. where the protagonist was a teenage girl and her viewpoint and, like, her life. Like, it's...
That is pretty awesome.
Which you don't see. You don't see cartoons that are focused on... I mean, Powerpuff Girls, maybe that's one of the only few shows that had, like, even little girls are, like,
a central audience. I was going to say Kim Possible is probably your closest, but that was much later, right?
That was much later, and that was also younger.
Yeah, that's true.
But I think there are a lot of parallels between the two. But this is a show that, like, teenage girls could watch.
Mm-hmm.
And we did. And we liked it. And it still holds up. And it's a jam. So, Daria.
Sweet. Well, I will have to check that out because
I think you'd really like it because her character is really smart. You know, she's sardonic and she's sarcastic and she kind of hates everyone. But she's still got, like, in deep down will want to help things and the parents are just kind of oblivious and you know she's got the popular younger sister who pretends like she doesn't exist but they share moments and then she has you know her best friend who's the weird art girl who has like kind of a stoner brother and like parents that aren't around and then she has crushes on various people and then there are like the other kids in school like they're like the dumb quarterback and dumb cheerleader who are just funny peripheral characters and then her sister is part of this group called the Fashion Club which are like the mean girls. It's a whole thing that like literally there's so many great teenage tropes in it and so many excellent characters that it's a great show. So Daria is my pick.
Sweet. That's something I am going to have to check out then. I have been watching a show from my late childhood called Codename Kids Next Door.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever heard of
this. I've heard of this, but I've heard of it more accurately. I've like seen it in like the channel lineup, but I have no idea what it is.
It is... So it's basically kids who are recruited as spies for this organization, but they're all kids. So it's kind of like again, this is one where the adults kind of are out of the picture. They're there, but they just are kind of Charlie Brown-ish, where they're not important. And so the kids are, you know, there's good ones and there are bad ones, and they are fighting for the safety of the planet or the safety of, you know, a neighborhood or a kiddom, frankly. And it's kind of like the bad guys that are also kids are kind of like the Borg. Almost where they all they're the like I want to say it's like the delightful children from down the lane is what they're called, but they all talk as one and they all kind of talk like this and they're terrifying and they kind of want to make all of the rest of the kids also delightful children from down the lane, so that's the Borgish quality.
Exactly
but what I liked most about the show and what I still like about the show is the way that the artists and the writers of the show took things that like are based in childhood and then use those to tell these stories. So it's not like kids are taking up, you know, AK-47s and, laser watches or whatever, and then going and fighting for the planet. Instead, you know, the treehouse they have is built with like things that kids would go and gather places, and the weapons that they have are like slingshots and things like that. And so it's all built like from a kid's perspective and in a kid's world. And many of the, you know, the people that they're fighting against also have these kid-like qualities. For example, they end up, this is so gross, but, I can't remember if it's apple strudel or I think it's coffee cake or some type of like cinnamon crumb cake or something. And like all of the people in this town are just loving these like cinnamon crumb cakes. And so they're all going and buying them and eating them and they love them. Well, turns out the crumb on top of the cake is the nasty crust that forms on kids' eyes when they get pink eye.
Oh my God.
And so what's happening is this person, I can't remember if it's one person or multiple people, but they're basically like recruiting more and more people. So whenever you eat the cake, then you get pink eye, and then they end up like harvesting your crumbs to make more cake, to make more kids get pink eye, to then keep going and going and going, which is just disgusting.
So gross.
But it also, like, you know, kids got pink eye in school all the time. And then there was an episode where,
where pink eye comes from, basically.
Yeah. Pink. Yeah. If you've ever had a coffee crumb cake, then that's probably pink eye dust. There's an episode where someone is like experimenting with ice cream of all things, and they end up making this giant ice cream beast that's akin to the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. And so, you know, the kids are having to face off against ice cream and the ice cream man. And so it's all, again, like that's the whole point of this, is that I love how they kind of, they didn't center everything around like what an adult would be interested in terms of, you know, you're saving the world from the person who wants to take over the world so that they can, like, I don't know, control oil futures or whatever. This is like kids facing off against either other kids who are always on their best behavior or facing off against ice cream monsters or what have you. And that's what made it so fun. And then, like I said, the art style, the fact that they went around and built tools out of the things that they had around, and like even their spaceships are created from different tools. And I can remember as a kid, so I guess it wouldn't have been late childhood, because I wouldn't have been doing this in late childhood, but as a kid, my siblings and I, all the characters are named by a number. So number one, number two, number three, number four, number five are the main characters. And then there are a bunch of other numbers for the other operatives. But I always played number one, of course, because I was the oldest and was the leader of the pack. And then my sister was number five. My little brother was number four. And then my other little brother, I guess, was number two. Yeah, number one was the leader of this, the kids next door. And then, number four was three. Anyway, point is, we all kind of like identified with the personalities, because number one was kind of the smart guy, but he didn't really like to go out and, he didn't like to take risks, I guess, or be like, he always followed the rules and he set the rules and he was a leader. And then my little brother, who is always a pain in my neck when I was young, that's kind of what this character was. He was like the football player and the rough and tumble one who often caused problems for the rest of the kids because he was, you know, going out ahead and like jumping right into battle. So yeah, I remember it fondly as a kid, and went back to watch it again because I have always loved spy stuff, always. And so this is like a nice mixture of spy and being a kid, where you almost felt like you could do it too. So it was a lot of fun. It's a fun show. And even if you just watch like one episode to get the idea of the artwork and how they kind of incorporate childhood, it's certainly worth it to check out. So where can people find you online, Christina?
You can find me at film_girl on the Twitters, and filmgirl on Instagram, and you can find my work at mashable.com.
You can find me on Twitter at Micah Sargent, where I will be tweeting about Uncle Grandpa, and you can find my work at newsy.com.
And you can find the show notes at theincomparable.com/cartooncast/9. Be sure to give us a rating or review in iTunes.
It really helps. And yeah, you can also follow our Tumblr at cartooncast.co and find us on Twitter at cartoon_cast. That's all, folks. Good morning.